This last weekend, I had the privilege of attending the wedding of two of my dear friends in Michigan, one of whom is a seminary classmate of mine. As with almost all weddings, months of planning and decision-making and organizing had gone into their big day. One of the more important decisions that needed to be made was whether the couple would keep, change, or combine their given last names. Unlike Jacob, from our reading for today, my friends Kristen and Nicole had control over their identity change. No one came and wrestled them in the middle of the night and then told them what they were to be called. At their wedding, a change did happen. They committed to joining their lives as one and promised to love and live into their new identity as a married couple. But that change happened by their own choosing, under their control. Before their marriage, they each controlled the general trajectory of their lives and defined themselves as individuals. And now as spouses, they will control and decide their identity as a team. They are who they choose to be, and they get to control their shared narrative. Dear friends in Christ, oh, how we want control. Oh, how we want to direct the narrative. How we long to decide our own identity. How we demand to define ourselves. And look at Jacob. He was no different. How long did he try and control his own story? Even before birth, Jacob and his twin brother Esau struggled in utero. Jacob came into the world holding onto his brother's heel, writing his own story from the very beginning. He may have been born second, but he was not about to be lesser. As a young man, Jacob takes Esau's birthright, bargaining with his hungry twin, bargaining with his upper twin to get the upper hand. And later, Jacob tricks his father into giving him the blessing that is meant for Esau, meant for the firstborn son, always trying to control the narrative. Are we any different? Even when we believe that God is with us, guiding us along the way, how often are we making backup plans, trying to envision every possible scenario, attempting to control every outcome? In your workplace, for example, what are all the steps and extra efforts, special touches, you might put in when trying to change positions or get that promotion? Maybe you dress a certain way, maybe you get somebody's coffee order, maybe you add a few extra meetings to the schedule. Control. Or if you're thinking of retirement or already find yourself there, are you selecting just the right account to put money into? Saving for very specific things, drawing the line at exactly the last age you'd be willing to work in this life, trying to control that ordeal. And when it comes to your beliefs, when you're wrestling with your faith, wondering if you should stay or go, this congregation or another one, are you doing research, talking to friends, controlling what type of church to join, or what type of pastor to listen to, or what type of people to worship with? When you have questions, when you wonder what is going to happen next, when you encounter a scenario entirely outside of what you have planned for, what is your usual reaction? I would like to say that I immediately turn to God in prayer, that I ask for guidance and comfort. But the reality is that often I do not. Prayer seems to be the third thing, or the fifth thing, or maybe even the 11th thing that I do. And instead, in my type A personality, I start to plan, I research, I try to control. I try to define and plan my own story. And isn't that the tagline on many a knickknack and throw pillow and journal cover? Write your own story. We want control. Beloved, God welcomes the unknown. God is open to our questions. God wants to wrestle through our struggles and our wonderings with us. During my first 2 years of seminary, my field education placement was with Ohio State University's Lutheran Campus Ministry Program. The student congregation called themselves Jacob's Porch, named for Jacob and for the story we heard today. As the students could tell you, Jacob was a liar and a thief. He lied about who he was. And at a crossroads in his life, God wrestled with Jacob all night to a standstill. God blessed Jacob and called him God Wrestler, or Israel. Jacob left the encounter blessed, but he also left limping. Students at Jacob's Porch are learning that this paradoxical blessed but limping idea is what is at the heart of faith. As new college students, young adults, some of them first-time churchgoers, they have a lot of questions. They are discovering their identity. They're asking big questions about life and faith and the world. They are struggling. Now, of course, you could say that this is all just part of the growing up process, moving away from home, making one's way in the world. And you are right, growing up is never easy. But college students are not the only people with questions. College students are not the only ones who doubt, who want to argue with God, who wrestle with their thoughts, their beliefs, their understandings and plans for the world. The questions and the uncertainties don't stop just because you get older, as I'm sure you know. And as I have been told many times in the last few weeks as I have settled into this job, nobody really knows what they're doing in life. Nobody is actually in control. And the good news is that God knows that we don't know what we're doing. God welcomes our questions and our confusion and our frustrations. God desires to be in relationship with us. This is an active relationship, an engaged relationship, one with give and take, a relationship full of wrestling. Out of that wrestling and the active relationship comes a new identity, child of God, beloved, blessed. The students at Jacob's Porch experience this blessed wrestling of faith when they gather for worship and small groups. They challenge each other. They question the pastor. They dare to ask difficult questions of God. They don't get all the answers. Jacob's wrestling with God ended in a draw, after all. But they engage in a holy relationship of wonder, love, and respect. God welcomes the unknown and our questions that come with it. And God is strong enough to take it. People of God, we are invited to be uncomfortable. We are invited to sit with uncertainty. We are invited to be a bit unsettled. To wrestle with God is not a polite process. Wrestling and debating and arguing never is. But that is the messiness of faith. We can't come out of faith unscathed, and like Jacob, our struggles mark us, change us. A new identity forms. This past Friday kicked off the start of the climate strike, a week-long global protest led by young people to demand justice for the climate. Here in the DC area, the strike was led by Greta Thunberg, a 16-year-old climate activist from Sweden. I don't know how many of you have ever been to a protest or a march, but I have to say I usually do not find them to be comfortable places. People are loud and shouting. There are huge crowds that jostle you about. It is not guaranteed to be a safe place. It can be physically uncomfortable. But it can be mentally and emotionally uncomfortable too. Greta Thunberg spoke to this discomfort last week when she addressed Congress. She called on all leaders, all in power, all people, asking them to lean into the discomfort. As she said to Congress, "Stop telling people that everything will be fine when in fact, as it looks now, it won't be very fine, and that we must realize that we don't have all the solutions yet." Greta also noticed how uncomfortable the latest numbers that reflect the rise in temperature can make us feel. She said that the data may very well make the climate issue seem impossible to overcome. And Greta is right. The data and the numbers are uncomfortable, but for more than just the obvious reasons. Maybe the numbers and the data are uncomfortable because, like those at the protest, the numbers truly scare you. But maybe the numbers are uncomfortable because you don't think they're accurate and you're annoyed with the whole climate conversation in general. Maybe the numbers are uncomfortable because they have become associated with a political ideology. Whatever the case, Greta is right. The numbers are uncomfortable. And yet this is the kind of discomfort that God invites us to. Because like Jacob and his dislocated hip, discomfort leads to holy conversation, to relationship, to a new and blessed identity. We are invited to lean into our faith, our beliefs, our passions, even when life is uncertain or confusing, trusting that God is wrestling through our uncertainties with us, believing that God will hold on to us in the tug of war of our holy relationship. The holy discomfort of relationship with each other, with creation, with God. We are invited to be uncomfortable. Siblings in Christ, it is okay, even expected, that we will wrestle with God and with one another. This is the encounter of faith. Our wrestling is holy and good. It is a time to be blessed. It is a fight and a striving and a tussle. Following God is a fight for our hearts and minds with the one who makes all things new. We are blessed and we are limping. Thanks be to God. Amen.